All right, everybody, this is Steli Efti.
And this is Heaton Shah.
And in today's episode of Startup Chat, we're going to do an out there episode, which is I'm going to share how I lost one of my children on a playground.
I think we like talking about more than just sales and marketing.
We just want to bullshit and chat about business and life. And hopefully, while we're doing that, provide a lot of value to people.
The world's best business podcast.
Oh, shit. We got it.
For people trying to get shit done.
We don't want to give you feedback that's bullshit.
Yeah, we want you to do your best.
And why that's a bad idea and what to do about it. And we might even find a learning or two in there for you and your startup. We're not sure yet. So, you know, I realized, Heaton, one of the more polarizing episodes that we did in the past were the ones where we did some crazy shit, like when we talked about religion and its role in startups, or even some more sad ones or kind of intimate ones on how the death of our parents affected us as entrepreneurs.
Yeah.
So I was thinking lately, shit, we've done a lot of like tactical shit, but we haven't talked about that side of things as much. And then just last week, I had something very personal happen to me. I'm still digesting it and kind of trying to work through it emotionally. So I thought, who better to talk to this about than with you and share it with the whole world? And I'm not sure what we're going to learn, but I'm sure something is going to come out of it. So here's the deal, right? I have two boys, a 5-year-old and a 3-year-old. 5 years into being a parent, I never lost a child. I didn't know that you should be proud of that. But now I'm trying to sell myself that that was a good thing. But last week, that winning streak of not losing my children ended. When I was on a playground with my kids, it was a very large, like it's a very large playground that I went to for the first time. There's a school there. There's multiple playgrounds for kids. There's a big pond. There's all kinds of stuff going on. It's a pretty big like kind of area. And I decided to go there with my kids. They were playing in one of those playgrounds. We were having a good time. I was chilling. At some point, I told both of them, hey guys, we're about to leave. 5 minutes and we're leaving. We're going back home. And my oldest son captured my attention and wanted help with something. And then I put on his shoes. Basically, he got all my attention for like 20 seconds or so. And then when I was looking for my younger son to grab him for us to leave, I couldn't find him. So at first, I'm looking around this playground. It's a fairly small one on this bigger estate. And I'm like, you know, screaming his name and can't find him. And I have this like, where is he? Huh? It's not hard to find. My children have never run away. I never had any issue looking for them. So it was kind of like, this is odd. I'm looking at the playground, but he's not here. And I'm looking around and I don't see him. But he must be here. Eventually, my older son joins the search. He screams and calls his name and tries to find him, can't find him. So now I'm a little concerned. I'm going further away from the playground to have a better overall like kind of view. Can't see him anywhere. And now I'm like, what is this? How is this possible? I should be able to see him, but I can't see him. So at this point, here's what's happening. So now my oldest son is starting to cry, right? He's getting into a panic because he thinks he lost his brother. And he's right. He's right.
He lost him.
We fucking lost him. I still can't believe it. Like, I'm still like super in doubt and in
totally
shock of like,
yeah.
What? This is
you're
not
like,
possible.
You're like, he's here. He's here. He must be here.
Yeah. My eyes cannot locate him, but I'm sure he is here.
He's here. Yeah.
So I'm trying to calm down my oldest one. And I eventually take him. I put him on a bench on that playground. And I tell him, all right, my man, look for your brother. I'm going to run around and look for him. Don't move. And I need your help. We're going to look both for him. You look here. I look everywhere else. But stay here. And I start running further away to try to find him. And I realized this was a big mistake. This is a bad idea. Because now I'm worried about two children, right?
Yeah,
that was dumb, right? But just in the moment, I didn't think it through. So I'm running around looking for my younger son. But now I'm worried that the older son is going to walk away as well. I'm going to lose both of them. So I do this for a few minutes and then I realize, all right, I need to run back to the playground and I need to ask for help. And so I find another parent and I'm like, all right, can you do me a favor and look for my oldest kid? I need to find my younger child. And she's like, yeah, no problem. So she sits with him and now at least I'm not worried that I'm going to lose both kids. So I'm running further and further away to try to find him. I'm screaming his name everywhere. I can't fucking find my kid, right? It's crazy. And eventually, some dad starts asking me, hey, have you lost your child? And I'm like, no, I'm just running around in a sweat screaming, you know, for fun. I'm like, yes, absolutely I have. And he's like, well, describe him to me. And I describe him, and he tells me, I think I saw him, and he was walking in to the right direction towards the street. He's like, I'm going to look in the other opposite direction. You go there and look for him. I'm like, all right, thanking the dad. And I'm running in that direction and looking for him, and I can't find him anywhere in that direction. Eventually, I come back, and now I'm starting to actually involve more and more parents in my search. And honestly, this was a bright spot on all this episode. Humans are sometimes really awesome. Like within a 5 to 10 minute span, I had like 20 parents search with me.
It's like, what does your kid look like? What's he wearing? Let's go.
Nobody wants to deal with that.
They can feel your pain.
People were organizing. They're like, all right, give me your number. We're going to be texting if we find him. And like different directions. Humans can be awesome, right? That was an awesome moment.
Absolutely.
Like a lot of people. Yeah. And I was asking 2-3 people for help, and it's like 10, 15 more just joined. They could see something's happening. All right, let's organize. Let's find him. So we're all running around. We're all looking for the kid. Eventually, like 20 minutes into this, I'm like, I'm pouring in sweat. I'm running. I'm screaming. And I'm like, all right, I need to call the police now. I don't know what the right time is to call, but I feel like now is the right moment to call. So as I'm running around, I'm on the phone, and I'm giving them all the answers, the name, the look, where in the park and all this. And we're discussing this. And here's the deal. Like, I'm constantly running back and forth, but mainly focused on the area that one parent thought he saw my child in, right? I took that information. Yeah. That was kind of the main data point that I was going off on. Eventually, one parent runs to me as I'm talking to the 911 lady and says, hey, we found him. So I'm like, all right, I'm going to stay on the phone with you. Let me run back to the playground and confirm that it's my kid. So 911 lady stays with me. I run all the way back. And there he is. You know, there's a huge group of parents. Everybody's like super emotional about it. And my Leo, my 3-year-old, is like, and I was, you know, I'm like thinking, is he scared? Is he alone? Where is he? He was like, you could tell he had no idea what the fuck was going on.
He was playing.
He was looking at people going like, what is going, why is everybody so upset? What's up here?
Right here. Yeah.
And I, you know, I tell the 911 lady, all right, confirmed it's my child. Thank you. You know, I hang up. I thank all the parents profusely. You know, I pick him up. I kiss him. I'm like, all right, I'm not going to make a big fuss out of it right now. I'm like, buddy, where were you? I was looking for him. Turns out he was all the way in the other direction. So this one parent that told me he saw him didn't see him, which is a big lesson learned for me in like eyewitnesses, you know, in a moment of stress. I mean, he doesn't know my child. He saw some other blonde child and he thought that's probably him. Like people will tell you they saw things and it's not that reliable of an information. So it was not that great that I was going the opposite direction the entire time. But Leo, when I said basically what happened was when I said, hey, kids, in 5 minutes we'll go, and I turned around and I gave my oldest son the attention, my youngest son started running to be the first back at the car.
Oh.
And the car was parked fairly far away, right?
Yeah.
So I didn't think of going all the way back to the car at that point, especially because it was the opposite direction of where the guy told me he saw my son.
Yeah.
So he was just sticking around the car. He picked up some flowers. So when I found him, he gave me a flower. You know, he was just chilling, right? Not a worry in the world. My oldest son was super upset with him, like, you know, scolding him for scaring us. The crazy thing was, like, you know, we went all the way back to the car. I didn't make a big deal out of it because I wanted to first collect my, you know, my emotions, my energy before I said something. But here's the trick. The entire, like, 25 minutes where I was searching for him, I was incredibly calm. And I was actually at times had an inner dialogue. Why don't I feel anything right now? Like, I didn't feel panic or fear. I mean, I was running and I had a high level of intensity, but I was not totally, like, panicked or afraid. And I was wondering, is this me just compartmentalizing? While I was running, I was like wondering why I don't feel anything. I was wondering, am I compartmentalizing Or can I sense intuitively that there's no danger here? Now, having said all this, the moment we walk back in the car, the moment I started driving back home, I started feeling a lot of emotions coming up, right? And it actually took me, like, I brought the kids back. We talked to mom. I talked to my son when it was calm. And then I went on a four-hour walk to calm down, right? There's, like, a lot of amped up emotions. So in hindsight, it seems like I compartmentalized, pushed all the emotions out just to be able to focus on the task at hand. But holy shit, that sucked, right? So losing your kid sucks. You know, now I know it's not a good thing. Don't do it. And it was a super intense episode. Now I'm wondering, have you ever had anything like this? I assume not, but I'm wondering, have you ever lost a kid?
Not for more than a few minutes, right? Where and usually if I'm alone, I just am very prescriptive with the kids. Like, hey, I have two kids, one's 7 and one's 3. My son's 7, my daughter's 3. I make my older son, hey, when we go out and it's just daddy, you're helping daddy. Got it? You know?
Yep.
Like, let's make sure she's cool. Obviously, I got you, but like, let's make sure she's cool because she's 3, just like your younger son. And they tend to, you know, be 3, right? And she's definitely more open to the world and not as conservative as my son. So that I use that to my advantage. And you know, obviously he's much older compared to your older son. So I think there's a little more responsibility in his mind about things, right?
Yeah.
As they get a little bit older.
Yeah.
And so I just do that. And that's helped me a lot because then, you know, just like your older son started helping, he'd start helping too. And he's always, you know, they're always tattletaling on each other just like kids do. So that's always great too. So yeah, I've had moments where I'm like, I can't find one of them, right? And I tend to worry a lot more about the younger one than the older one because the older one is also, again, a lot more conservative. He never was one to go far and not go somewhere where he can't see us. Well, my daughter doesn't care. Like, she'll just go wherever if she sees something she wants it, she'll go after it.
Yeah.
I've had moments like that. So I can't imagine. I totally get the 4-hour walk. My theory on this is I think you get into this whole mode when you have a problem and you just want to solve it. And you won't stop until you solve it. And that's how human beings are, especially when there's a crisis. And so I think you are in your body, your mind. I think the intuition is a separate topic. We probably have a longer set of episodes on that. So let's save that one. But my theory would be that you just got into problem solving mode because you had this big problem, right? Like you can't find one of your kids. And you, being who you are, a little different than me, you enlisted people around you because they could feel it like that. For me, I'm usually like not one to enlist people in that same way, unless it gets really far for me, which is probably a bad thing or whatever. It's a different personality. So if you enlisted people, I know how important and how scared you were. And I think you let the whole problem solving nature of yourself come out, the critical thinking side, and you just have a problem to solve. And it's the number one thing that you have to solve. But I think you were in, you know, it sounded like a good 20, 30 minute episode, right?
Yep.
And so obviously you needed time because, like, I don't know, as a parent, it's like it's much harder than business to me. Where, like, when you have a problem and it's one of these, there's too many what ifs, right? And you needed to get, I think you went for the walk to get all those what ifs out of your head, right? To get that, like, just like peacefulness again. Like, I'm okay. I'm a good parent. It's okay. You know, nothing happened. It's cool. Thank God. Nothing happened kind of thing. You know, here you are. And also, like, you know, focusing on the good parts of it, of like people wanted to help and lots of them.
Yeah.
Right? And they're the ones that found your kid. And it's actually really smart because if you get a whole bunch of people involved like that, it's honestly less likely that anything bad's going to happen. Right. As a result, because now everyone's looking and there's more eyes on it, which is cool. And I love that about you, that you would just go do that, you know, naturally kind of thing. So. I don't know. I get it. I think you were just in problem solving mode. That's my theory. Crisis mode. And you know what to do in that mode. Solve the fucking problem. Right?
Yeah, I think so too. I that's in hindsight. That's what I think happened there. The thing with the helping people, you know, the lessons that I took out of this that are kind of more universal are I should have actually, like, in hindsight, I should have asked for help earlier. Right. That's like one lesson that I, because for like good 10 minutes, I didn't enlist any other parents because I was in this like denial of like, it can't be. This just cannot be. I never had, like, my kids have never run away or anything like that. So I never experienced anything of that nature. So I was like, this just does not seem like what's really happening. I can't believe to a certain degree what's happening. So I was just trying to fix the problem on my own.
That's a good point.
I feel like, I feel like that was the right mode for, you know, first few minutes. But once I took a big run, like I covered a good amount of distance and I haven't seen him or found him yet. I think that's the time where asking for help, somebody take care of the little one, that was a good step, but it came a little late. And then enlisting people, we probably would have found him earlier if I'd asked for help earlier. So it's just not something that I would, so to me, it's like when there's a real crisis, not just when something like, you know, I'm not asking for help for any little thing, but when there's a crisis, I need help. You need help. You need to ask for help. I need to ask for help early. And the other thing is, I don't know, less applicable in all areas, but maybe if you chunk up high enough, is that, again, when there's a crisis, maybe you can't fully rely on kind of like humans giving you data points. You know, you of course you need to get help, but you know, when you're in a panic and you're asking for somebody to tell you if they saw something or if they know something, maybe the information they give you is not totally reliable. Not because they're not well-meaning. It's just because the situation is such a panic situation that they might think they saw something or know something, and it may or may not be true. So you can't fully rely on that data, even if it's well-meant, right? So. I don't know. This is one of those weird episodes. Maybe somebody's going to take a lesson learned from it or find it interesting or at least appreciate the transparency here. But I thought it'd be interesting to share that experience because it's such a standout thing for me. And see if somebody else out there has experience anything similar or different or can relate it to a business or startup experience and wants to share any of that with us, we always love hearing from you. So just shoot us an email, steli@close.io or hnshaw@gmail.com and share these experiences because we learn from each and every one of you.
Absolutely.
All right. Don't lose your kids, people. that's the lesson here. And we'll hear
now you know
you.
What to do if you do.
Hopefully you don't have to use it, but if you do, might take some lessons learned from me. All right. We'll hear you very soon.
Bye.
Bye-bye.